How important is it to take control of your life, or should we just go with the flow?
Funnily enough, they're both important, but you need to actually be in control of when you decide to do either one. You see, if you don't control yourself, someone else will, or something else will. And there are many societies that say, listen, if you think you're in self-control, then somehow you're some egotistical beast, and somehow you think you know it all, or somehow you're a robot. Well, if you're not in control of yourself, who is or what is? Then there's the question of going with the flow, that if you're too controlled, you could miss out on opportunities, you become difficult to deal with, and somehow you're so idealistic because life isn't about control. Life in itself is about chaos. Well, let me give you analogies of what I mean about both and why and how you can control both. Let me tell you a story that begins with two people, one on a rooftop of a lighthouse. You in the hot air balloon. You have decided that both of you, your friend at the lighthouse and you in the hot air balloon, when you come near each other, your friend's going to strike a match and you're going to strike a match, hopefully so that you can light a candle, so that you can see how far you can see the candles, therefore the light, as you drift away. Well, your friend strikes the match, but the wind is very strong, and no sooner than your friend strikes the match than it blows out, because the wind just forces it out. Well, the balloon is much higher. What hope do you have of striking a match if your friend at the top of the tower can't do so? Well, you try it. You strike, and to your amazement, actually, the flame remains. And you think, this is strange, and you light the candle, and here you are at a super high altitude, moving, but your flame is on. That actually depicts the notion of environment. That yes, although the wind is strong up there, you in the hot air balloon are part of the wind. You are moving with the wind. Therefore, you become part of the wind. And therefore, there are no opposing forces in dangerous situations. So when people say life is about chaos, they are right. But you can have control in chaos. Now, going with the flow is important. It's a bit like in judo. If someone is throwing a punch at you, the worst thing to do is to oppose the punch, because now you have two strong forces clashing with each other. In judo, we are taught to take the person's energy and use their own energy against themselves, so you keep going with that flow, with that strike, and use the energy of the strike against them. That's what we did in the balloon. The wind was fierce, but we were cognizant of the environment. We allowed the environment to turn into an advantage, not a disadvantage.
So in a way, that's going with the flow.
Now, yes, see the dichotomy? See the interesting switch there, that you can control yourself and go with the flow without compromising your values, without compromising your beliefs, without going with the lowest common denominator, but being aware of your environment. So it is possible to be in full self-control and still operate without great opposition and still be who you are and true to yourself, so long as you understand your environment, understand your strength, and do it within the right timing.
What happens when people take control to the extreme? How do you deal with control freaks?
There are various levels of control freaks. You could say that a control freak is someone who might be more egotistical than truly, let's say, administrative, meaning the person is more interested in shining, being the star, being the hero, than actually getting the job done. And so they want everything to come through them. Or it could be that they are control freaks because they don't trust other people. They don't have faith in another person's ability, rightly or wrongly. It could be that the other person they're dealing with, in fact, ought not be trusted with something. So they take control because there is a question of focus, and they have a single job in mind, and the job must get done. And if it needs to get done through major control, then so be it. The people who actually end up having control and then end up being destructive are those who don't have self-awareness. You see, unless you have self-awareness first, then self-control, you will end up in a situation that is self-destructive, because you don't understand your own strength, you don't understand other people's strength, and you end up trying to fight forces instead of going with forces. To lose control is to lose peace. To have control is to have peace.
So there's a huge difference between taking charge of your life and being in control and being a control freak.
Oh, absolutely. Look, being a control freak is sometimes the strategy to win short term. But every time you take control of something, you are depriving someone else of an experience. So when I say take control, be in charge, what that says is make sure there is control, not you personally always in control. So therefore, a well-balanced person, a well-adjusted person will say, I don't mind who's in charge so long as somebody is and that person is competent and capable. If that person around me isn't competent and capable, then I will go into emergency mode and take control. There are control freaks who think that control means they want it, whereas I'm advocating the control freak who says, so long as I know somebody capable is in control. And that's the test of whether we jump in or let it happen.
How should we be dealing with difficult situations?
It's a question of controlling how these things affect you, and two, when you allow things to affect you. It's the when. It's a question of, we know they will affect you, but you need to allow them or disallow them or postpone them. For example, no one should be allowed to make you angry. Now you'll say, yes, but I can't help it. They just walked in and they made me angry. Well, yes, of course they did things that would normally anger you. And yes, you are right to be angry, and anger can be a good little tool. But if you are not ready to be angry, you mustn't allow them to penetrate your soul and your heart and let them be in control of you. You see, if you let your husband, wife, partner, boss decide that they can control your feelings, that whenever they feel like it, they can come to you and say something that will anger you, infuriate you, then goodness gracious, you're just like a candle in the wind, aren't you? It means you live your day waiting for other people to come in and penetrate your heart and tell you when I want to make you angry. No, don't allow that to happen. Of course, they might do something that is infuriating, but if you are not ready, like you're sitting for an exam or you're too busy focusing on something, just park that thought to a side. You need to be able to allow what comes in and what goes out to be controlled by you, not at the whim of someone who's recalcitrant or someone who's just a total pest unto society and unto you and the people around you.
But isn't it normal to react to a situation when it happens?
Of course it's normal to react, normal to be angry, normal to feel whatever. But don't let other people tell you when. You need to decide when. And there's nothing wrong with postponing it. Nothing wrong. But notice, though, that sadness is a weaker force of an intangible. It can actually control. It wins over happiness. Death wins over life. Bad wins over good. We are taught the opposite. So you could be deliriously happy and I'll walk in and give you devastating news and that could just shatter you. The converse is not always true. You could be deliriously sad and devastated and I could walk in and it would be very difficult within an instant to give you something that will make you happy. But within an instant, I can tell you something that will make you sad. In our society, we are not taught to control the intangibles, we're taught to control the tangibles. And generally, we're pretty good at that. I mean, apart from sudden death, nature's pretty fair. Apart from earthquakes and other things, we seem to work quite well with nature. The rocks, the bricks and mortar, the buildings, the roadways, the general infrastructure seem to work quite well. And we build our lives around tangible things and we're too busy about whether the house is clean or the car has a scratch on it. And we keep going around that, but are we actually spending as much effort, time, energy, money, attention to the intangible things of life? Because when you assess at the end of the day, when you go to bed and you ask, what were the pleasures of life? They've come from the intangible. It's not the act of making love, it's the sensation of it. It's not the buying the car, it's the feeling you get. It's the things inside you that you can't touch and feel. If they're the things that make you happy and unhappy, isn't it therefore only wise and prudent that you learn to control those things? Because they're the things that ultimately matter. So I say then that given that life is mostly about intangible things, does it not make sense to learn how to control them? Things like thoughts, desires, anger, curiosity, love, hurt, and sorrow.